then, you know, I had opportunities to be somewhat more closely associated with the lake as I grew up. Because of my father's interest in waterfowl hunting, I was anxious to become interested to do that as well. I turned 12. I got my first hunting license. Mm-hmm. And went out with my father. My father was had a bad leg. He had when he was young, their well water was contaminated with typhus, and so he had typhoid fever.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So he lost, somehow, I'm not sure what the physiological process was, but somehow it shortened one leg. So he walked with a limp. So when I was born in 1942, he was already 59 years old.
Wow, yeah.
So we didn't have much of an opportunity to hunt together. We did a little bit, but there was a dentist in the area who was a waterfowl hunter. Hunted with a side-by-side 12-gauge shotgun. And he took me under his wing, no pun intended. And we would go out hunting in that early period of my life. Eventually, I got old enough to have a driver's license and a job, and I could buy my own shotgun shells and drive myself mm-hmm. around. So I really grew up around the lake looking for places to hunt waterfowl. I didn't look much beyond the wetlands at that time.
And did you hunt Farmington Bay or up by Bear River?
Eventually, through my adolescent career, through high school, I hunted everything from the southern part of the lake in the Jordan River Delta to around and off of Promontory Point. There was an access road that took you into the National Wildlife Refuge on the west side of the refuge there. Mm-hmm. And then everything in between. My modus operandi was to take two cans of sardines and a half of a loaf of my father was a baker in the family, half a loaf of whole wheat bread that was 3 or 4 days old, so it had kind of crusty,
mm-hmm.
and a small decoy bag. They were called Duraducks at the time. It was a flaccid, flexible decoy that had a metal ring in the bottom, and how it would inflate when you put it in the water.
Oh, really?
So you'd throw it in the water, and it would inflate. And
how did it do that? If you didn't inflate it yourself?
No, you didn't inflate it yourself. It was just I'm not sure. I can't tell you the physics, but
wow.
They weren't very big.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd put those in a backpack with my food and a handful of shotgun shells. And my father's, that I inherited, model 10A Remington pump shotgun, full choke shotgun, and I didn't have any other thing but Meerschaink. I just had my legs to carry me, so I'd hike around the refuges. And one of my favorite places was the west side of Howard Slough, which was a refuge constructed in 1958. In association, it's kind of in tandem with Ogden Bay that had been there for some length of time. And I'd find a muskrat hut in a place where a muskrat had cleared vegetation around a small mm-hmm. pond, and I would hunt waterfowl. Sometimes I'd be really successful, and sometimes I wouldn't, but it was always fun and interesting to me. Then it was very difficult to look at the landscape without seeing a short-eared owl in flight, which is really uncommon these days. Eventually, I looked further west. In my youth, my folks moved. They built a home near their original home in Clearfield in a place where my window actually looked out over Antelope Island. I could see it from my bedroom window. So I started to gain a perspective of the lake that way. And at that time, because there wasn't any access that I knew, even though there was a road on the south end,
right,
it was kind of the last bastion of wilderness associated with the Great Salt Lake. It wasn't. So it was, for me, it was my wilderness in my mind. I didn't know much about it. I didn't even know at the time that there were bison there. But I understood it was a ranch.
Right.